It is Saturday, August 19th, 2006, 10:06 a.m. on the central coast of California. It's time for Geek Speak. We'll be focusing on geek news and your calls and questions of technology.
Geek Speak is a production of KUSP, Central Coast Public Radio, kusp.org. The bandwidth for geekspeak.org is provided by GNI, gnihosting.com.
We're through being cool. We're through being cool. Eliminate the ninnies and the twits.
Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. I'm your host, Lyle Troxell. Please keep in mind the views expressed during Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KUSP. Today on our program, we're taking your calls and questions of technology in the second half. In the first half, we are doing the geek news of the week. The phone numbers, if you'd like to get ready, 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877, or contact us now. Go to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us. I'll give out that information again when I invite your participation in about a half an hour. Geek Speak is supported by Henry J. Ramirez, DDS in Santa Cruz, specializing in cosmetic and family dentistry using digital technology for less radiation and offering one-appointment crowns and veneers. For appointments and more information, 423-2447. This is Geek Speak. My name's Lyle Troxell. In the air with me are geeks John Tracy, technical support engineer at Surf Control, Drew Meyer, product manager at Network Appliance, Miles Elam, technical trainer at Surf Control, and Mr. Sean Cleveland, technical marketing manager at NVIDIA Geeks. Welcome to Geek Speak.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lyle.
Good morning, Lyle.
All right, let's do the geek news. We'll be taking calls in the second half, of course, but let's do the geek news first. I'll start with Miles.
No, you won't, because I don't have a mic yet.
What? Are you on five? Start talking again.
I don't have the mic set.
He's not ready to
man.
Roll. The mic's on. He's just near his face. I'll start.
No, I want Miles to start. No, go ahead, John. Please. Hello.
Morning. Usually I start with space news. This morning I'm going to start with something a little different.
What?
AOL is going from data mining and going into gold mining.
This is a great story.
In the contest to see which is worse, the RIAA or AOL, AOL has taken the lead. Kind of. RIAA was going to sue some dead guy or the dead guy's kids, I can't remember. But AOL has decided that they're going to go to these people's homes and dig up their yard looking for lost gold bars and platinum bars.
Are you serious?
The story is a spammer, Davis Hawk, was using AOL accounts, abusing AOL privileges, and basically using AOL as a platform to send a whole bunch of spam. He and his partners.
Are we talking allegedly here?
He was charged with the crime.
Okay.
A court date was set. He did not appear.
Okay.
Therefore, AOL wins by default.
Okay. So it sounds like a loss.
The judgment is $12.8 million against him.
Right.
He was very smart in that he didn't buy a fancy car, a fancy house, all these things that could be seized. He bought gold and platinum bars instead.
They found receipts for these platinum bars.
They have not found David Hawk. They don't know where he is. Nobody knows where he is. He's probably left the country.
I don't know what's more disturbing about the story, that AOL is searching for gold like this, that he actually bought gold bricks and hid it, or that he was able to make that much money spamming AOL customers.
They say he and his partners are making about $600,000 a month. And I really shouldn't say that online because there's probably someone out there who's going to go, really?
Ooh, I can be a spammer. Don't, because then you'll go to hell. Wait, I see. That doesn't work for everybody. So this guy spammed AOL customers. AOL's like, you're using our network in a non-commercial way, and it's against policy, so we're suing you. And
for damages.
Sued him, won. They go try to find him, find out that he's bought a whole bunch of gold and silver.
And vanished.
And they don't know where, so now they're digging up his land.
No, they don't know where he is. He doesn't own any land. Oh. Otherwise, they could seize it. So they're going to his parents' house. They own about 2 acres. I won't say where, because I know every treasure hunter in the world is probably over there right now going around looking for it. And so they're trying to get a court injunction to go and dig up the two
Somebody
acres
else
they
is,
have.
You know, I think they should get permission to dig it up, but only the AOL executive staff can do the digging.
I would pay to watch that.
That's great.
How much could he have buried? Is there any numbers around here? I mean, what is this really
How
worth?
How much did he buy?
They don't say.
They don't say.
Yeah, they're not disclosing that amount. That's but great. They're trying to get $2.8 million back. I don't think he's purchased that much. But he didn't spend his money on much else. I mean,
interesting.
He drove an old car. He didn't have land. He just bought gold and platinum bars. All right, so.
You know, remember when we had the author of the book, Inside the Spam Cartel, and we didn't know really his name or anything? I wonder if it's the same guy.
I still feel like apologizing for that show. Maybe. This is kind of funny because this is all started about August 10th is when this whole thing. Last year, 2005, AOL seized a whole bunch of gold bars from another spammer.
What? Is this common?
Yeah.
So
what is it about spammers and gold bars investing?
In the month of August, August 10th of 2005, AOL seized a Hummer, $75,000 in cash, and $20,000 worth of gold bars, and auctioned it off.
What is this? Is the people that like the spam mentality? Just I gotta get gold. Gold is what I need.
Swiss bank accounts? No, I need gold bars. Government can track me and pick those out.
Thank you, John, for the story about AOL digging up gold and platinum bars from people's yards. Next news story. Somebody make eye contact. Cleveland, Sean.
Yes.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, people with more than 1 gig of memory in their Windows laptop have been suffering from a problem with hibernation. A system error prevents them from going into hibernation. Basically, the error message is insufficient system resources exist to complete the API.
Oh.
Which just sounds crazy because, 1 gig of memory, you should have plenty of resources. So up until this point, if you wanted a fix for this, you needed to contact Microsoft, and then they would give it to you.
I
guess it's been like this for a while.
Or change the memory allocation of your computer, like get more memory or less memory?
If you remove memory, then
it would work. Okay.
You take it down to less than a gig, I guess it would work. But there is a fix for those of you who have more than 1 gig of memory, and you can download it from Microsoft's site. We'll have the link up on our website later today.
We will? Okay, good. Anybody editing?
And Miles, of course.
No, Miles isn't. He doesn't even have a microphone. Okay.
Well, I do now.
We will put that up. And Sean, if you share that URL with me, I'll do that. Thank you very much for that news story. Sean, have you run this? Because I'm assuming you run laptops with more than a gig.
No.
You don't?
No.
The company you work for can't handle the cost of a laptop with more than a gig of memory?
I don't know. Maybe not for 3,000 employees.
I guess that's not. Well, thank you, Sean.
It's not an NVIDIA notebook. We just make chips.
Miles, you have a microphone now?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you have a beautiful voice. You are on, and we're ready to talk to you.
So wonderful.
What do you got?
The next wireless spec, 802.11n, whereas most people have been using Wi-Fi, which is 802.11b. There's a newer version of that, 802.11g. Those are the two most common ones. And they are limited to 11 megabits or 54 megabits per second, respectively. There's a new version that's been in trials. Different companies have been putting out pre-release of it for quite a while now, and it's called 802.11n.
As in Nancy?
Yes. And this is supposed to go up to 100 megabits per second. However, there's been a lot of infighting, a lot of people, chipset manufacturers putting in their own 2 cents, and it's been pushed back, so now we're not looking at ratification of it until 2008. So
is it good?
What good?
The N spec.
Well, it's supposed to be faster, so faster is better, except that we're not getting faster fast enough. So all those folks that are buying like pre-N devices, these are things you could find at a lot of computer shops, you may have a lot of interoperability issues. So
they try to make sure the hardware is capable, and then once the spec is ratified, then they would come out with some sort of a firmware update, which would then bring the hardware into spec.
It sounds like if you're a geek, you could go ahead and buy a pre-N now.
It's a gamble, They could radically change the spec to the point where the hardware can't be modified to fall within the spec.
Most of the time.
In which case, your N doesn't is not going to work with devices. So it's right. it's
or
a gamble.
They're all called pre-end devices. But if you're getting two devices that are the same brand, like if you get the wireless router and the wireless card, they're the same brand, you'll be okay. But you're going to have some problems if you try to get two different brands working together.
Yeah, pretty much.
You totally snuffed A.
Isn't N supposed to, the transmission quality is supposed to be better too?
Yeah, it's a different hertz range.
Yeah,
than frequency. E and G.
Yeah,
woohoo! It hurts.
So this recommendation then is don't buy pre-N unless you know what you're doing.
Don't wireless buy a pre-N router. Unless you really need the speed and you're okay with dealing with the consequences.
Why not go with A?
You might end up with hardware that once the N is ratified, it will not work.
A goes up to 54.
Yeah, it's compatible with. Yeah. It's comparable to G. Not
and you will need to do some updates at some point. With the pre-N router.
All right, thank you very much for that. I'm going to go to Drew because Drew, you're the only one who hasn't done a news story so far. Oh, you know what?
Well, I don't really have a news story, but I have kind of a public service announcement, special interest story.
All right, we'll see how it goes. First off, you're listening to Geek Speak. My name's Lyle Troxell. Miles, John, Sean are here, and now Drew Meyer.
I have a video that's on YouTube right now. In case you don't know about YouTube, it's a place where anybody in the world can post videos. So a lot of people take stuff themselves and put pretty dull content up there or interesting content, as the case may be.
I think most of the time it's pretty interesting.
And, you know, it depends how much time you have to waste. So there's this video by this band called OK Go, and it's called Here It Goes Again. And I don't have MTV, so apparently this is taking the MTV world by storm. But this is extraordinary. These guys have I don't really know how to explain it, but you got to go there, look up OK Go, and watch the video of these guys, this band. And they have eight treadmills. They're in a gym, and they've choreographed the entire song to be moving around on these treadmills. And it's really, really, really impressive. So I don't know if it's really newsworthy, but sure, it's been on my mind lately.
Well, let's see if we can get a little bit of the sound in here.
We'll put a link to it on our website, and you can go there and check it out.
All right. And here's a little bit of the sound. What the heck?
Have you got some?
Sure.
Some of the song?
I think so.
Let's see.
But it's just not the same without seeing the guys on the...
You don't even have to hear the song. It's more about seeing what they do, which is unbelievable.
I can't get it to work.
All right. Well, good try. And the other thing is, recently I've been looking at Congresspedia. Well, there it just started.
Go on, Congresspedia.
Congresspedia, which is a place to go for information about your congressional representatives and members. It's got all the stuff that they really don't make public very easily, like what their earnings are, ways that they voted consistently, what committees they're on. It's an effort by the Sunlight Foundation to really make all this information available to regular citizens. So you can go there, find out any piece of detail you want about any type of representative, whether they're a senator or a representative.
Which is pretty cool because you'd be amazed at how much money that goes for a bill is appropriated by these little line items that get added into it that people never even know about.
That's exactly right. I got hooked over with this site by reading about line items. A line item is just a special interest proposal that's added to a bill and gets approved along with the bill and may have nothing at all to do with the bill. There's another nice link on that Congresspedia site that takes you to the Sunlight Foundation, where they've put together a little web program that will show you physically with Google Maps where the appropriations go to benefit. So you can find out when the bill is passed, where is the money benefiting, and does it have anything to do with actually the local representative's area, or is it more of a lobby trade?
Right. Well, we seem to be spinning out a lot of cool URLs, so we're going to definitely have to do a page. Is somebody taking on this?
Yep.
Okay, thank you, Miles. Well, let's go on to the next news story. Thank you very much, Drew, for that. John, I know you've got some more. Speaking of good websites for interesting information, physicsorg.com has a couple stories. Yeah. I figure let's do those stories. Cause
physicsorg, it's kind of a confusing URL, physicsorg.com.
It's PHYSORG.com.
Physorg.com,
yeah.
They have a lot of great physics news. They have a story up there about a ballistic computing chip. Chips use transistors, very, very small transistors to do the calculations. A transistor takes a piece of energy, a packet, an electron, and absorbs it in a on mode, and that's a transistor that's on, or it gives it up, and that's a transistor that's off. Well, which is fine. One of the bad things about it is it uses a lot of energy because you're always absorbing the energy, and then when you release that energy, you're creating heat. So heat and energy consumption and also radio interference from the electrons bouncing around at incredibly high speeds because they have to keep making the wires thinner. These are all the problems that we have with current chips.
Right.
So this group of computer designers at the University of Rochester has come up with what they think is the next paradigm in computing, which they call ballistic deflection transistors. Basically, instead of absorbing an electron and, you know, breaking the stopping the electron and then releasing it, which creates heat and waste energy, what they're thinking is you can have gates set up with these little ceramic transistors that deflect the electron one way or the other. If it goes to the right, it's a 1. If it goes to the left, it's a 0.
So then you're just sensing the path of the electron.
You're sensing the path of the electron, exactly. So there's a gate that's set up that senses that an electron has passed through it.
Two of them, actually. One to the left, one to the right? Or?
Three. One that senses an electron has passed to say, okay, here comes an instruction, and then one to the right and one to the left to say is this an on or is this an off. The cool thing is you can keep these electrons bouncing with a minimum of energy input. Also, you're not releasing electrons, so you're not creating heat. And it's a new paradigm. They're working on it. They have a prototype working, which is kind of cool.
I would assume you'd have to use more than one because you want to have you don't want quantum rules to take too much power here.
Yeah, that is true. And one of the things they have to do is it has to flow through a medium that has no impurities in it, so that nothing interrupts the electron flow.
Right.
Hence the name ballistic comes from the fact that they're shooting these electrons very quickly through a medium that has no impurities, no resistance. So it's kind of cool. It's the next. Well, it's not the next step in transistors. It's possibly the next paradigm in computing. We'll see.
All right. Well, well, I've got you. Well, Sean, should I go with you? Get another news story, sir? See, John posted all this story, so I know he's got another one that's really kind of cool.
And so, I'll just jump in if anyone else has some.
Yeah. I heard about Boeing canceling their broadband service.
Wow.
On their planes?
On their planes, yeah.
Security reasons or just because nobody was using
it? Just... I think they've spent far too money than they'll ever get back. The market just wasn't there for it.
Well, especially right now, where you're not supposed to use electronics. You have to pack it all.
Yeah, the market never materialized. They said as expected. So kind of a shame.
I don't know if I believe that.
I know.
I would pay a lot more money than I would in a coffee shop to be able to work on the plane.
Yeah,
but you spend more time in coffee shops than planes, right?
Actually, you know. I doubt it.
So far, Germany's Lufthansa. Scandinavian carrier SAS, all Nippon Airways, Japan Airlines, Singapore Airlines, they all have wireless service in flight. And the only one in the U.S. that does is JetBlue.
Which is the only company
that won licenses to supply wireless airborne communication services. So
nice.
They're doing it. But it doesn't sound like they're across all of their flights.
Well, thank you much.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I would want that. But then again, are we going to be able to carry our notebooks on planes anymore? I don't know.
So, John, what is going on in space right now?
I can't tell. The cloudy.
You might be able to see the moon today. What's up with the moon that's changed a little bit?
Oh, moon's become a planet.
Huh? What?
Moon's now a planet. So we call it the moonit. Moonlet.
Are you serious?
The manit.
Our moon of Earth?
Well, it will be soon.
What?
So does that mean we're going to have 40-something planets?
Between that and the ones out beyond Pluto.
If we accept Pluto, then we have to accept our moon? Is that it?
Basically. Well, not yet.
Give us the details.
I don't get it. It orbits us, and it's small.
Let me explain.
Explain away.
The International Astronomy Union of Concerned Scientists has decided... they're in Prague right now in this big discussion about... Basically, if Pluto should be a planet or not. This has been going on for years, whether Pluto should be a planet. But
fuel came on the fire when you brought that story a couple of weeks ago, right? About the new thing out beyond.
I guess it's because of Geekspeak that they all went to Prague.
That's what happened. Man.
They found a lot of other planets out in the Kuiper belt.
They found a lot of other large objects that are very much like Pluto.
They found a lot of other objects that are as large or larger than Pluto, which brings into question, are they planets? They looked at the definition of planets and said... There is no definition of planets. And so they've had this big hammering things out get together in Prague to come up with the following. This hasn't been ratified yet. They'll ratify it Wednesday. But currently it says, 1, a planet is a celestial body that A, has sufficient mass for self-gravity to overcome rigid body forces, so it assumes a hydrostatic equilibrium, meaning
it's circular.
It's big enough to be a sphere. And B, it's in orbit around a star and is neither a star nor a satellite of a planet.
Oh,
so there you go. The moon is not a planet. However, the moon is drifting away from the Earth. And if you look at the actual definition of what that means when they say it's neither a satellite of a star or a planet, because you got to define that, it's basically saying that the barycenter is not within the... If the barycenter, which is the orbit at which... the point at which it's orbiting around is not within another celestial body. So basically saying the point at which it's orbiting around is not within something else that's considered a planet, then it's a planet. So since the moon's barycenter currently resides within Earth, you know, moon orbits the Earth, the moon is a satellite. However, the moon is slowing down and drifting away, and eventually its barycenter will be outside of the Earth. So we're estimating it's going to be happening in about, it's drifting away at 3.25 centimeters a year. So
it's moving away fast.
It's moving away really fast. And so in about a billion years, 1.5 billion years, I lost the exact number.
But it sounds to me if it's ever rotating around the Earth, its center will always be the Earth.
Eventually, it's going to be far enough away that they think it's going to drift off.
Oh, we're going to lose it.
4 billion years away.
And then it'll become a planet.
But the problem is, at that point at which it becomes a planet, they theorize the sun maybe will have swelled by that point, gone
and
red giant,
us.
And eaten us anyway.
So. Okay, but the interesting thing is, if Pluto's a planet, and the definition, therefore, includes Pluto, then we've got how many more objects out there that
well,
aren't...
12 accepted planets at that point, including Pluto, including Pluto's quote-unquote moon, Charon.
That's the thing I don't understand. Isn't Pluto's moon like half the mass of Pluto?
So yeah, does Chiron.
Isn't Pluto then
it's more
therefore,
like a double planet than a really a
so
right?
That's not a planet.
They kind of they haven't figured out. It's not like it's orbiting.
Right. So who's Pluto. The planet? And who's the satellite?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
So they both would be sent to planetary status. The large asteroid Ceres will become a planet.
Aren't there larger objects in the Kuiper Belt too?
There are. Yeah.
How far out? Oh, well, they're not going to another solar system. So
they're trans-Plutonian objects. There's a couple they've found that will definitely become planets.
I love it when scientific words are used for it's further than Pluto. So it's a trans-Plutonian object.
Awesome.
It's far away. Thanks.
When I'm away from home, that makes me a trans-Pine
well,
Street
talk,
object.
There was talk for a little bit about calling these objects Plutons instead of planets. And they interviewed people, and people just laughed at Plutons. So our count of planets is going up to 12.
All right.
With a little more study, it's going to go up to in the 50s.
Gosh, you know, if I was in elementary school in a really strict place with like a ruler on the hand thing, and the teacher asked, how many planets are there? They'd get to do anything they want. You'd be like, there's
really
either 9,
depends.
8, or 12.
Or more.
Or more.
So prepare for a new round of planets. I think we're going to have so many planets that we're going to see some really interesting naming opportunities.
Like Microsoft.
The planet Microsoft.
Oh,
yeah, we could have corporate-sponsored exploration of different planets.
I have some nausea coming on.
Oh, God.
That sounds like a
the sad
terrible
thing is it makes,
idea.
The same thing is it makes sense in a society like ours, right?
Yes. Or you have, like, John Carmack, the founder of id Software, is working on a space project.
I mean, this is not an uncommon thing at all.
Actually,
I mean,
he works on rockets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was
in
going for the
NSPX
prize.
Yeah.
Steve Ballmer put a whole bunch of money into Spaceship One. So there is a precedence for large corporations getting into space exploration.
It's a very old precedence.
Spaceship One, I thought that was...
Oh, Paul Allen.
Thank you, Paul Allen.
It's an exceptionally old precedence.
One of the founders of Microsoft.
All the early explorers had some kind of funding, and things got named after them. They were like little corporations. They just weren't corporations. So, you know, Magellan,
America.
I mean, there's a lot of that going on, you know. You got the whole Columbia guy.
Where I come from in Idaho, there's a town called Lewiston. On the other side, there's a town called Clarkston.
Yeah, see? They were financially, you know, they're like corporations.
Solvent.
Let's talk to people.
And other people, else? You mean? Not just us? Oh, you mean people, not geeks.
You know what I think? When you name cities after people, I think that's the best way to go. Like, you had, you know, Houston, Fremont, all these great people who've helped found America had cities named after them. Why don't they start naming planets after the astronauts and people who go into space from different countries? Doesn't that make sense, you know? They're the first ones there. I don't know. My two cents.
That makes sense.
Geek Speak is supported by Business with Pleasure, a full-service business center in Scotts Valley offering computer rentals, printing, design, shipping, delivered office supplies, notary public, and more. Information is online at businesswithpleasure.com. You're listening to Geek Speak. Our phone answer and fellow web geek, Rick Philman, awaits your call with questions and comments. The numbers are 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Or you can go directly to the geeks by going to online and typing in your message at geekspeak.org. Again, you can call us and email us with any questions or comments you'd like about technology or anything else for that matter. The phone number is 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877, or you can go to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us. GeekSpeak is supported by business... I'm sorry, I already said that. GeekSpeak is supported by Cruzeyr Internet, offering SSL broadband, computer rentals, and tune-ups. DSL broadband. I had a typo.
I was going to say, SSL broadband.
It's a new technology.
It's all secure broadband connection, the ultimate way to surf.
GeekSpeak is supported by Cruzeyr Internet, offering DSL broadband, computer rentals, tune-ups. Cruzeyr has rental stores in downtown Santa Cruz and Watsonville. More information can be found online at cruzeyr.com or by calling 459-6301. This is Central Coast Public Radio KSP. You're listening to GeekSpeak. My name's Lyle Troxell. The Geeks this morning, Miles Elam, John Tracy, Drew Meyer, and Sean Cleveland. Please join our conversation right now with questions and comments about technology. 476-2800. Again, 476-2800. Or toll free at 1-800-655-KUSP. Or go to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us. Miles, you had another news story as we wait for callers?
It's a quick, short little one. A poll was taken of 33 different countries asking the question...
Wait, how do you ask a country?
Well, just a poll of different citizens of various countries. I'm terribly sorry.
It's okay.
And ask the question...
I'm sorry, I have a 9-year-old in my house right now, and that's what he's asking all day, so I'm stuck in that state.
Do you believe this to be true or not? Like, yes or no? Did human beings, as we know them, develop from earlier species of animals? It's basically saying, do you believe in evolution or
okay, not? So basically, yeah, you do believe in evolution. All right.
Okay, so we have 33 different countries. The United States came in last. Or answered, no, does not believe in
evolution. Your opinion.
Came in last?
You mean if a yes answer
is good and a no answer is bad, let's put it that way.
That, okay.
Yes, I have my own biases, but...
But Miles, we still haven't answered the question.
We did come in ahead of Turkey.
So more...
I can't believe we're arguing about this. It's just so much evidence out there, and I understand your viewpoint.
Miles, do you believe in evolution?
Do I believe in it?
Yeah. Well, what was the question they asked?
Did human beings, as we know them, develop from earlier species of animals?
Miles, did human beings, as we know them, evolve from earlier species of
yes.
animals? Drew?
Yes.
John?
Based on current scientific evidence, yes.
Oh, you waffler, flip-flopper.
No, that's
Sean. That's
Sean?
How science is.
That's true. That's
yes,
true. But I still think it's regardless of the evidence.
You observe the facts, and then you make a theory.
It is that's the conclusion that best fits the data.
Yes. I've not seen any alternative theory.
That holds up better.
That holds up at all.
Oh boy, we're inviting some calls today, aren't we?
The opinions bring it
expressed on this
oh,
program and not necessarily those of KUSP.
Oh, yeah, please bring it on. I'd love to debate whether evolution is fact or fiction. I love this idea that because it's a theory, it gets attacked. Come on, all science is theory. Everything I mean, it's ridiculous.
The theory
that's
of
what
gravity.
Makes...
People go like, seriously. It's not
a conclusion that fits the fact.
We have some bad theory. I mean, we don't know really.
Gravity. They talk about the law of gravity, and that's fine. But at the same time, gravity is a theory. However,
we don't even have good definition. We have like three or four theories of what gravity really is. You take string theory. You take.
String theory it shouldn't be considered a theory. It should be the string hypothesis.
I agree.
It hasn't really been tested
because it's a mess. And there's a whole
bunch of hard to observe that.
But just like. We have a theory for what gravity is. We have a theory how evolution works. We clearly know that we have evolving species. I mean, that's something that we see. And, I mean, take a look at the poodle. I mean, we see it in humans. They're able to do it all the time.
I'm sorry, take a look at the poodle.
Sorry, what does that have to do? Flying
the
spaghetti
theory
monster?
Of the poodle.
No, I'm saying a poodle clearly comes from... We have histories of how poodles were created. So a poodle is an evolved species by design, by human design. So we decided
to make
a poodle.
So it was intelligently designed.
It was. There's a lot of animals. The dairy cow,
therefore,
corn.
Ergo.
But the thing is, we have tons of examples of humans doing this. This is very wide. I mean, farmers know that corn comes from mesa, and mesa is completely different than what we think of as corn. And
Maize,
thanks. And then we've got all these species of dogs. There's only two natural, you know, pre-human created dogs, wolves and hyenas. And everything else is human-made.
Dingoes. Yeah, what about
dingoes? Is it dingoes?
No, but dingoes
or is it...
were affected by...
I won't get into that. But the point is we have tons of examples of evolving species, humans evolving species. That's well documented. But then we have this idea that humans can't be like that. And that's where I could get from. I mean, we see this all over the place in farming and in breeding.
Wow, air's getting thin up here, up on our soapbox.
Well, challenges. I'd love that.
You made a good challenge for intelligent design there. I mean, you're saying we intelligently designed all these species.
And we did.
Therefore, there could be something greater than us designing.
Okay, I love guiding the evolution.
No, hold on, intelligent design.
Totally different theory.
The platypus.
Or the poodle.
Chihuahuas.
If that's intelligently designed, God has a sense of humor.
And we're not ruling out God. We're just saying there's evidence that things
evolved. I always like the idea of aliens.
The flying spaghetti
intelligently
monster.
Designing humans.
There you go.
Right, it might be the giant flying spaghetti monster. That,
I mean, you already blew away black holes last week. You know, my science fiction is... been cut in half.
Okay, so I try not to
no more wormholes.
Yeah, I try not to do this much on Geek Speak, you know, talk about my own life and everything. So, but I just want to say that my entire family's out right now, and last night my sister Marina performed at an event, which was just wonderful. And I just want to play a little bit of that for you because I can,
because you're a radio show host.
Yeah, because you've got the controls.
That's right. Steve Abrams, Bruce Elliott, Marina Troxell. Nepotism is live and well on KOSP. We're taking calls right now on GeekSpeak. Phone numbers are 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Again, 476-2800 or 1-800-655-5877. A call from Castroville. Michael, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hi. I recently moved to Castroville about a month ago from Marina, where I had DSL service. Now I'm on dial-up because the place where I'm at does not have DSL service.
Ouch.
Right.
And in the last couple of weeks, I have not been able to get Internet Explorer, which is the browser on my... in the Finder, mm-hmm. to open all the way. And I can still get on the Internet through Safari. When I try to open up Internet Explorer, it'll mostly load, and it looks like it changed the color of their homepage from kind of a white to kind of a blue, but then after about 15 or 20 seconds, it freezes up and the little hell wheel spins, and then I have to quit.
Right. Do you need Internet Explorer for some reason on the Mac?
I don't know.
I would just assume that Internet Explorer is broken. I mean, it stopped being supported a while ago, and it's kind of a dead browser. If you've got Safari, which means you've got OS 10, stick with that. I think it's a better browser. You can, and yeah. if you don't want to stuck to one browser, go ahead and download Firefox, but don't do it at your home on that dial-up because that'll drive you nuts. Do you know if there's a cable provider in your area that provides broadband?
There's not. I researched it up and down, and nobody does it out here. In my own way, if I want to go high speed, is to either buy a satellite-ish deal, go that way, or else buy a laptop and get a wireless connection.
Well, a broadband wireless.
Can you get a broadband wireless from a provider at your home?
No, I don't think so.
Right, so you'd have to go to a different location.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have anything to say to you except that it stinks when you don't have broadband. Yeah, you could get a laptop and go visit a coffee shop or a friend's house with broadband. It's definitely, I think there's a lot of people in your shoes where the place they live does not have DSL and does not have cable support. And I would say that satellite probably isn't worth it. Mm-hmm. For a while, years ago, I was up in Lompico, and it was before the cable company came in, there's no DSL support. And so I went ahead and did dual ISDNs, which you can probably still get ISDN support. It's like 128 kilobit. Pretty slow. I'm sorry, bit.
What?
Drew, did you have a question? Are you,
no.
Yeah, we...
What about microwave?
If you found it, if in Castroville, it's pretty flat area.
Yeah, it's pretty flat.
You might be able to find a provider that does a beam to the house. It's like a long-distance broadband.
My father did it. It works great once you have a connection established, but there is some lag when you're sending data out.
Yeah.
My dad has a microwave connection that's got a little receiver up in the tree near his house, and it comes from a mountaintop across the lake, and it works great.
Yeah, that's the way to go. You want to try to find someone. If anyone is in Castroville, or it's definitely a service provider that offers this, please give the geeks a call. And wasn't
Redshift doing that? I don't know if they're still
like
around.
I feel like that's the right name, yeah.
It rings a bell, I don't know.
Redshift is my ISP, and they said that they came out here and looked at it, and they said that it would be dependent on a line of sight between wherever their repeater is and where my place is, and I'm kind of down in a little bit of a hollow here, and they said it wouldn't work.
And you don't have a redwood tree near you or anything?
That's true.
No, but I'm kind of down off the side of a hill here.
Man,
there's
not too many
hills, but I'm down off the side of one.
If it's not too far, you can run a wire from the reception,
from the
microwave receiver, but, you know.
Have you checked with Comcast? Are they coming out anytime soon?
Yeah, no, they're not, at least not yet. And I've checked with AT&T.
Sorry, Michael.
And they're not. And
you good friends with the guy who lives on the top of the hill?
There's nobody up there.
Yeah.
Do you drink coffee?
Go to a coffee shop. Good luck.
All right, thanks.
All right, thanks.
That is a tough one, though.
It is. I was stuck like that for so long, and I almost moved. But
you and me both, buddy.
Remember when cable came in? I was like, I called you. I think it was 4 o'clock in the morning. John, they've got cable in the area. We tried not to pay for television because we don't even watch television. We had to pay for television because it was cheaper to get the cable, to get broadband. All right, Santa Cruz, Leslie, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your question?
I have two questions, actually. I wanted to know your opinion regarding the battery thing for Dell laptops.
Is your battery almost dead?
Excuse me?
Is your battery almost dead?
Or? She just doesn't want it to explode.
Burn up on her.
No, I think it's a fire thing.
Uh-huh. Jet of fire.
I haven't had any problems, but wanted to know what you guys thought. And my McAfee virus protection just expired, and I thought, and I'm just hesitant to throw another $100.
$100?
$100 for McAfee for home?
I think so for a year, or $80, something like that.
We got a free one we like.
Well, I'm hoping you'll tell me about that.
Well, hang on. McAfee's doing what for you? Is it just antivirus, or are you getting their whole spam, anti-spyware, and monitoring service?
I think it's the most minimal.
Minimal.
It just says McAfee virus scan.
A little bit less than $10 a month. Phew.
You know, if I knew that it would work perfectly, I'd pay that.
Right.
You know, if I wouldn't have to worry about it and stuff, the thing is, virus protection almost never really does what it...
It's better to have it than not have it.
I know, but if I could just go, I've released this responsibility, something's protecting my computer, I don't have to think anymore about it, that was worth a lot. But since it's just like, here's another tool in the gambit, you might as well use somebody else's tool, which is free. So let's go ahead and do this first. John, you got... Well, it's...
I disagree, Lyle. I think it's easier for a consumer to have one place, one package, and one suite that covers all different kinds of things. If we recommend that you just use the antivirus, then you're going to end up leaving yourself open.
Oh, no, I agree. You need to do all the work. I'm just saying that if she's just buying antivirus from one company and she's paying that kind of money, she might as well and do a free one and also do all the other protection you need to do.
Alex on instant message here.
It's $50 for a one-year subscription to McAfee's Internet Security Suite.
Yeah, he said the AV alone is $25. The whole suite is like $100.
No, okay, it's $50. So $50 right here. I'm looking at it.
For the whole suite?
Yeah.
But you can pretty much get free software to cover most of that.
Yeah, but $50 for a year, does it handle everything?
Well, I use Adware, actually, regularly.
Yeah, Adware's nice.
That's the free download for that.
And SpyBot Search and Destroy, a Microsoft Defender.
Ooh, Rick just says that AGV, which is the one we recommend all the
AVG,
time,
yeah.
AVG, has started displaying pop-ups telling Rick that they want him to pay.
That's what you get for free.
Yeah, with advertising.
I mean, we don't have a position one way or the other.
Oh, no, but they may have detected he's using on multiple machines, though.
Oh.
And it's only supposed to be one one copy per household.
Just one laptop at home.
Didn't we cover a story recently that most of the people that are taking advantage of making viruses and stuff tested against the big boys?
Yes, you did.
And if they make it through, then they'd release the virus.
Right.
So maybe it's better to have a less known client.
Yeah, but which one's likely to respond faster, and where are you going to get support on a free one?
I've noticed Sophos.
I've never gotten support on any of them.
Yeah, you don't get support from...
Sure you do.
Yeah.
When you buy the subscription from the big guy, you do.
I've noticed Sophos. It's a larger, medium-sized antivirus company in Britain. They're pretty good at trying to guess what's coming out next. I don't know, you know, if they're big enough that people test against it before they release their viruses.
What is the name of it again? I'm sorry.
Sophos. Again, it's one you pay for. The one that we've been recommending to people is AVG, which is at free.grisoft.com.
Free dot.
Grisoft.
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 O-F-T. And that'll be on our page in a little bit, geekspeak.org.
And make sure you're on the right page. Should have some ugly-looking characters on the left-hand side of the page. That's how you know you're at the right one.
So free.grisoft.com.
Right. Yeah, that's what we recommend for virus protection.
But that's not a complete solution.
No.
Because you also need to guard against spyware. You also need to guard against...
identity thieves, spammers.
Yeah, how do we solve this, you guys? We're always going around this. I have the problem. Everybody has the problem. How do we... Why don't we get some kind of package that we go, this is what we endorse. We like this. Maybe we should get an author of a
free
book on.
So should I put a link on our website to www.apple.com?
Oh, wise guy.
No, because on a Mac, you still need AV.
I tell you what, I will contact Symantec and McAfee and get them to come on the show and give us a pitch.
So we've done this before, and we had a marketing person come on, and they pitched their product and how great and wonderful and spicy it is, and it can shine your shoes. And that's not what we need. What we need is a really good process, a workflow that you do to protect your computer 100% or 94%. I'll even settle for 92%.
So are you suggesting go ahead and do McAfee again and then do the Adware like I have been doing, which has been fine?
Well,
or is the Grisoft going to take in place of the McAfee?
No, Grisoft
is only going to block viruses. Well,
okay.
Help block viruses.
And it may give you pop-ups, we don't know.
For advertising.
Well, if you're installing to multiple machines, it's only supposed to be one copy.
What's on your computer?
She should be okay.
Is this computer a business computer?
No, it's just one home laptop, one single laptop computer.
Have you ever had a virus infection?
I did. As soon as I got it, it came with spyware.
Yeah.
It was that month that it came out that they didn't know what to do, naturally.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, I think since you already have it on, pay for it, but don't pay $100 or something else going on
Go to their website. Here, we'll stick the link on the site for what it's called McAfee Internet Security Suite. Since you're already a McAfee customer, pay the $50 or $60. There's two different choices for the entire security suite.
Okay.
And the thing is, you know, this is pretty common for me when people ask what kind of computer I get. There's the Windows Mac choice. And I said, well, what have you been using? Okay, stick with that. Unless you're motivated to change away. And I would go the same way with this. There's nothing wrong with the company McAfee. They'd
No, it just expired, and I thought, well, I wonder what you guys would think.
Well, if it expired on me, I'd go ahead and install a free one. But that's because I, you know, work for a university and don't make much money. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
You know, if you...
We're willing to take the risk of reconstructing a computer,
right. I also know how to handle it if it fails.
Yeah, and probably might not want
to
be
that. We know when not to open things and...
God, maybe the solution is just back up your data and wipe your machine every month.
It does, but that's in a month, horrible. A lot can happen.
What does wipe mean?
Completely erase everything that's on your machine
Start
and reinstall
from
everything
scratch.
From scratch.
Wow,
it's about a
four-hour
process.
Yeah. It's like saying, well, you have brain. You get confused once a month. We should chop off your head and put a new one on.
You know what? I'm actually going to get the whole. I'm going down to one of those office supply stores to get the whole backup system because I tragically haven't done that.
Yeah, backing up, especially on the laptops.
Got to back up. All right, well, the battery thing on Dell. You got a Dell computer, and you're worried about the battery. That's another thing. Don't worry about virus protection at all. Your computer's going to catch on fire. No? I think what you want to do is you look at the model number versus what the Dell is saying.
Yeah, Dell has a website where you can check the model number to see if there's a replacement battery. Just keep in mind, the new battery probably won't be as good as the one you have.
Right.
Because the one you have is lithium ion. And
it's pushing the boundaries of physics. And safety.
Hey, it looks
the explosion
like
thing.
In this McAfee Internet Security Suite we just talked about, I'm reading the page, there's a backup utility.
Yeah. Can you get everything there?
It's amazing.
Leslie, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You can call in, too, with questions and comments about technology. The phone numbers are 476-2800. Again, 476-2800. Or call us toll-free if you'd like. If you're outside the 408 area code, I'm sorry, 831 area code, go ahead and give us a call on the toll-free line, 1-800-655-5877. We're going to go ahead and go
Lyle?
Yes?
The website is DellBatteryProgram.com.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll go to Pascal Robles. David, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hello.
Hello, David.
Hi, how you doing today?
Can you pick up your phone, sir?
What was that?
Can you pick up your phone? You sound
a little distant. I'm talking on it. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's
that's
a little distant, but go ahead. What's your question, sir?
Yeah, I was wondering, I heard you talking about that Wi-Fi N, and I was wondering how does it compare to the WiMAX 802.16?
Apples and oranges. The 802.11n is more of a something you would have in your house, something that you would have in a local coffee shop, something like that. Whereas WiMAX is more intended for a large area, like a city or a large valley. WiMAX is intended for multiple kilometers of access and at very, very fast speeds.
So, couldn't you use that in your home and have faster speeds?
I mean, anyone could have a cell tower in their house. I don't know if I really want that there.
So there you go. That's the difference. Thank you, David, for the call.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Thank
you. If you've got questions and comments about technology, we're here to take your calls. The phone numbers are 476-2800. Again, 476-2800 or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Let's go ahead and go to Watsonville. Robin, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I live in an area where I can't get DSL or cable, and my dial-up connection was super slow, like 26K.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I got a Sprint air card and tried that, and I probably tripled my speed.
Ah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's good, but it's not enough for me.
So this is using Sprint's cell phone
broadband
on cell phone, but it's better than what you had.
Yeah, it's better than what I had, and I can talk on the phone.
And that's like $60 a month, I think.
And it is. It's $60 a month, so it's expensive. But there is a antenna jack on the back of the card, and I was wondering if I got an antenna, would that increase my throughput or my bandwidth?
Well, it's got an antenna right now, right?
It doesn't. No, it doesn't have anything on it. But
doesn't
it has a
have
jack
a little...
that I can put an external antenna on it.
Oh, yes.
There's no little wire that folds up from it?
No, on the card, it's just got a cell phone.
Yeah. Wow, so there's a coil inside
these
the card.
These things get reception anywhere. I don't understand what the antenna would be used for. Maybe it does increase your connectivity.
I would say that it would get you a better signal.
Yeah.
Is there some kind of diagnostics in the system that tells you what kind of signal strength you have? Like
yeah,
little bars?
There's a little, console thing that comes up, I can put
does it give you percentages or something?
No, it gives me the bars.
And how many bars you got?
It goes from 2 to 3, depending on...
On a scale of?
I think 5.
So you're only 50% there most of the time.
Yeah, I'd get a better signal.
Antenna won't hurt, let's put it that way.
They say, I'm reading on, where is this, wirelessdatacards.com. They're talking about this one. It says if your antenna breaks, you can no longer get connection. So therefore, the antenna does have some kind of...
The car didn't come with a little whip antenna?
No, it didn't come with anything.
It'll often look like just a plastic stem or mast or something like that. Not very large.
Yeah, this didn't have anything. I even asked them where I got it from, and they were like, we've never seen those.
Yeah, you can you can get an antenna on it, definitely. I would give it a shot, but I wouldn't pay very much for it.
That's what I'm afraid of, because I've looked around, and some are pretty expensive.
Well, what's nice is you could take your notebook to the store and try it out.
Yeah.
It's not on my notebook.
It's on a desktop.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I would go ahead and buy one and return it if it doesn't improve yourself. I mean, it's the best way to test it.
Yeah.
Check eBay, check Craigslist, see who else is out there.
And if you like it, if it's worth it, then maybe you can search it.
Okay, give us a call back and let us know.
Yeah, please do.
Okay.
Thank you so much for the call.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Most likely it's got an embedded antenna. Most of them have an embedded antenna.
When you think about, your normal notebook has the whole screen, which it uses as an antenna in the background, and a little card that you stick into a PC doesn't have very much space for an antenna. It's going to be a short antenna.
Well, I think this is a PCI card.
Right, so no matter what, there's not very much space on that to put a loop for an antenna on it.
It's true.
But if there's an external jack...
That's great solution. Yeah,
I think that's a good idea.
That's why they built it on there.
We can take your calls with questions and comments about technology. We have no one waiting right now, so you can ask us anything you'd like. The phone numbers are 476-2800. Again, 476-2800. Or toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Anybody got any news stories? that we didn't catch?
Well, it's got some more space stuff.
Okay, Miles, what's up with the space?
Well, first off, I gotta find my news story again.
We can talk more about evolution.
Here we go.
Santa Land.
NASA believes they're that on the Martian South Pole.
Yeah.
As springtime sunlight heats it up, it releases trapped layers of CO2 ice, causing these geysers and releasing CO2 in the atmosphere.
Which body?
Mars.
The Martian South Pole.
That's cool, because we're, like, what, 1 year away from launching Phoenix?
What's Phoenix?
Phoenix is the bird that rose from the ashes. Phoenix is actually a Mars probe that rose from the ashes. They made this thing called the Mars Lander in 2001, and it was scrapped. And then they decided to resurrect it and build it again. So JPL is working on this. So they're taking the old lander. They're sprucing it up a bit with some new technology, some tricks they learned from the two rovers, and they're going to be sending it to land on Mars.
Groovy.
I think it launches next year. 2008, one of those.
I want the peoples to go to the Mars.
You know, there's a whole... You know, Van Allen, who died very recently, last week, he was a big proponent of robotic exploration instead of manned exploration.
All right, we have calls like nobody's business. So we'll go to Monterey. And Tom, welcome to Geek Speak. Tom, are you with
Tom,
us?
Tom, you there?
Sebastian? If you're on the phone with GeekSpeak, say hi.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye to that one. Let's go ahead and go to Sebastian Santa Cruz. Welcome to GeekSpeak. Am I doing something wrong? I probably am, right? Oh, I am. I just hung up on Tom. Sebastian, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Thanks, hi.
Hi, what's your question?
Sorry, Tom.
Well, I have a commercial website, and my question is about Google PageRanking. And... for example, when searching on Google for my primary item, websites that have very little to do with that item will be on the first page, uh-huh. like all 10 of them.
Yeah.
And then my website will be on like the 100th page.
Okay, well, does...
Yeah, everybody wants to know that formula.
Yeah.
That can make you rich.
Think about Google has extremely smart people. For a company with such a public face, it has a very strict hiring process where you have to be well educated, and you have to, for a long time, you had to meet the CEO and really get through a lot of interview process, which means there's a lot of smart people. And what their idea is for the search engine is to actually give the most relevant information to the search term possible. And they do their best they can to do that, which means that for you to achieve that, you should be the most relevant for that search item.
Relevance is counted in a number of factors. One of them is amount of hits.
Yeah, but what the thing is that what they're doing is they try to think of all these different ways that they can think of relevance. And if they were perfect, they'd have some kind of giant brain that read all the content and assessed what was most important on that search term. That's how it would be done. But instead, they have to do all these tricks. But all those tricks balance and lead to the most relevance. So... more people linking to you based on that search term, good information and page formatting for that search term, and making sure that that page can be accessed. But if they're crawling it, it can. Mm-hmm. This is a whole industry getting higher ranking, and it's not something you can do simple on air, unfortunately.
Yeah, I get a lot of advertisements, and I see those banners saying that they can pump up your rating, but it's recommended not to buy.
That's right.
When someone's not trying to sell you something and they're just trying to explain it on a website, they recommend not to do that. So it's kind of confusing.
Yeah, that's the thing is if you start trying to beat the system, Google may punish you because they don't want people beating the system because it cheats. So produce good content and... yeah, I can't get more into it, unfortunately, than that. We're running out of time on GeekSpeak today. But thank you so much for the call.
Okay.
And good luck.
Call all your friends and have them come to your website once a day.
You have people link to you. That's a good thing to do. Drew, go ahead.
Tomorrow morning at 11 a.m., Marin Alsop and the Cabrillo Festival Orchestra perform with percussionist Evelyn Glennie, featuring works by Laura Karpman, Kevin Putz, Askel Mason, and Michael Doherty. Join us tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. on Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP.
That was Drew Meyer, the other geeks today, John Tracy, Miles Elam, and Sean Cleveland. My name's Lyle Troxell. The phone answer is Rick Philman. Thank you, Rick, so much for being here every week to support GeekSpeak. Other supporters of GeekSpeak, like Santa Cruz Electronics, offer an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. Thank you for listening to Geek Speak. To those who called in, thanks for making Geek Speak what it is. Without you, it would just be us geeking out, and who wants to listen to that? Geek Speak is a registered service mark of Online Tonight with David Lawrence, and he's used by permission. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KOSP Santa Cruz, KBDH San Ardo, on the web at kosp.org.